Hear, O ye heavens, and give hear, O ye heavens, and give ear, O earth, and rejoice, ye inhabitants thereof, for the Lord is God, and beside them there is no Savior. Great is his wisdom, marvelous are his ways, and the extent of his doings none can find out. For from eternity to eternity he is the same. Worship God, for him only shalt thou serve. Exalt the Lord our God, and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. Good evening. I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We, for our guest speaker tonight, we have Elder Brian Mundy. He's a good friend of mine. I've known him for a long time. He was my basketball coach a long time ago. And we've worshiped together many times, and I'm grateful to be serving with him this evening along with my other brothers up here. Before I get any further, Dan handed me an announcement that I needed to announce tonight. I want to get that taken care of first. Zaire Hamlet Branch is having a father and son banquet on August 15th at 6 p.m. And I think it's for any male that would like to attend. So, but they need to know tonight if you would like to go. So if you would like to attend, I'm guessing at the Normans, please go talk to the Normans and get your name on the list back there in the back. And they will be happy to have you attend the banquet. At this time, let us go ahead. Actually, the hymnals that we're going to be using tonight are in, you should have been in the handout. They won't be in the hymnal. So if you don't have one, I don't know if we have any more copies, or share off the person next to you if you don't have one. But we're going to start by singing hymn number 3 in the pamphlet, Great and Marvelous Are Thy Works. And afterwards, Gary Metzger will give us an invocation.
And eternal Father in heaven, may you be glorified and magnified. Thank you for allowing us to sing by thy Spirit, to rejoice with the angels, and pray, O Father, that you would touch the hearts of your people, that we would come before you humbled, that you'd be pleased to come amongst us and lift us up. We pray, O Father, that you would bless our brother Brian, that you would bring us your bread from heaven, and that you allow it to be feasted upon by your people. That we have come with our hearts open for your ministry. And pray, O Father, where there are weaknesses, that you would give them strength. And we are proud you would make us humble. Bless us, O Father, by thy arm. In this service we offer unto you for your guidance and for your blessing and for your honor. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen.
For offertory, I want to share with you thoughts lately about, I've actually heard many testimonies shared on this, how the Lord, everyone knows that the eternal life is to know God and to know his son, Jesus Christ. That's what the scripture tells us. But how we should know God is what is of debate sometimes, but in many testimonies lately, I've heard about how God doesn't want us just to know him. Just know about him. But he actually wants us to know who he is. And that is only possible if we are truly allowing him to work in us and through us to touch others' lives. Because we have to be at the work that the Lord is. And the Lord is at work by building up his kingdom. And if we are not joined in that, how are we ever going to know him? And so offertory is a wonderful opportunity for us to take of the blessings that we have received of the Lord and be able to bless others with it. And so tonight, I hope that is what we remember, that we are sharing what's on our hearts and not just what's in our wallets. Have everyone come forward. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and take up the offertory and then we'll say a prayer afterwards. Lord, we are so thankful that we are truly blessed by you and that we are given opportunities to share in the blessings that you have given us. And Lord, we ask that what has been collected tonight will be used properly for the needs of the branches, the congregation, this district, and for the work of building up your kingdom. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
The hopes of my people and the goals of my church, while not yet fully realized, and at times and to many seemingly distant, are closer to realization than many recognize. It is yet day when all can work. The night will come when for many of my people, opportunity to assist will have passed. May God bless us tonight as we worship Him and we listen to His voice, is my earnest prayer. Good to be with you saints tonight. Many of you I haven't seen for some time, and some of you I've never seen. I'm so thankful to be able, it's my privilege to be here. I want to thank these young people for their ministry tonight, and I'll be honest with you, if you listen to what they had to say, then the next part of the message will come real easy. You guys did a great job, and I know the Lord was real pleased with you sharing tonight. You know, whenever I was about 7 years old, I saw this old dude. Now, when I say old dude, I mean an old dude. He was 100 years old. His name was Oscar Case, and he preached such a vibrant sermon. I mean, I was y'all's age, and I saw him getting so excited about this gospel, and I said, man, if somebody at 100 years old could be that excited about the gospel, that's who I wanted to confirm me into the church. And so I went and I visited with him, and he came, and I was blessed to have Oscar Case confirm me into the church. I share that with you because I want you to know there is nothing that will bring more joy in your life than you sharing in the ministry with the Lord Jesus. To be able to share with Him, and just you guys coming out here tonight, that was wonderful. Thank you very much. Well, saints, tonight for the service, as we've gathered around the theme of Hear Ye Him. That's the part that I really wanted us to focus on tonight. Surely the voice of God is calling, but the part of hear ye him. You know, sometimes in a service, we can leave a service and we can say, man, that was good, or that was bad, or that was entertaining, or whatever. But the fact is that as we have gathered tonight, our focus tonight needs to be on hearing him. And my earnest prayer is that perhaps through either my preparation or your preparation or just the sheer blessings of the good Spirit, that you will hear his voice tonight. Because it is not about me, it's not about any of the priesthood that are up front tonight. It's about you hearing the Lord's voice, and I have that assurance tonight, even in preparation to be able to share with you, that you will hear the Lord's voice tonight. Now, he has shared with me that some will be touched by a scripture, some will be touched by a testimony or an experience that was shared. Not everyone will be touched by the whole thing, but I have that assurance that you will be touched tonight. You'll hear the Lord's voice if you will listen. And that's my earnest plea for you tonight. It's not just that you hear me. It's that you hear the Lord's voice tonight. And I would just ask and encourage you each that as you are right now even contemplating that message of the Lord, that bread of heaven for you, that you just whisper that prayer, Father, unstop my ears that I might hear. Soften my heart that I might understand. My earnest prayer for all of us tonight, for all of us tonight, is that we would hear the Lord's voice. You know, I learned something in England one time. There's this word called calling. And I was visiting with some potential new members, and I said, I'll call you tomorrow. They said, well, what time? And I thought, what difference does it make what time? I'll give you a call tomorrow. But they wanted to know what time. And so I told them it would be whatever time it was. Now, I don't remember. But later on, whenever I called them, I rang them. You notice there was a difference there. I learned that there comes a time when you say call, that means you are going to go and visit them at a particular time. It wasn't just that you were going to ring them on the phone. And I got straightened out real quick on that. But there's a scripture that I believe that I'm really trusting in right now that I think is so important for us. Because I believe it speaks directly to our day. And so when we see hear this theme about that the voice of the Lord is calling us, I don't want you to just think about it being he's ringing you up on the phone. I don't want you to just think that he's speaking and hearing. I'd like to take you to the third chapter of Jacob. And I want to share with you the latter part of this parable of the olive tree, beginning at the 136th verse. Because I believe it speaks to us today, and it is that assurance that we saints, and particularly those of the priesthood that are going out, it is particularly a strong blessing to each of us. But I want to begin with the 136th verse. And it came to pass that the Lord of the vineyard sent his servant, and the servant went and did as the Lord had commanded him, and brought other servants and they were few. Now, just so that we're all on the same page, my understanding of this particular scripture is whenever he's talking about the servant that was being sent, God was sending his son, Jesus Christ. He was sending his son, Jesus Christ, and he was going to gather other servants. And even though there were few, this is what was going to happen. And the Lord of the vineyard said unto them, go and labor in the vineyard with your might. For behold, this is the last time that I shall nourish my vineyard. For the end is nigh at hand, and the season speedily cometh. And if ye labor with your might with me, Ye shall have joy in the fruit which I shall lay up unto myself against the time which will soon come. And it came to pass that the servants did go and labor with their mights, and the Lord of the vineyard labored also with them. And they did obey the commandments of the Lord, and of the Lord of the vineyard in all things. What a beautiful promise that we have. And whenever we are out and we are ministering and serving the Lord and serving His people, we are not alone. Jesus is there serving with us. And I believe that if it hasn't already begun, it is very soon to take place. That kind of ministry is soon to happen. If you have not experienced it yet in your life, I believe you soon will. That the Lord Himself will go and labor with you, with me, with us. This is the calling. The voice is calling unto you. He says, I'm not just going to ring you up on the phone and say, go. He's saying, I'm going to go with you. I'm going to meet you. We're going to go together. This to me is what's very exciting. This is not something that we're just going out on our own, and it's very exciting to me. But there are many voices out there. How do we know? How do we know which voice is calling to us? There's many times that things have transpired, and I struggle with what is it? You know, I want to share with you a testimony. This testimony is very, very dear to me. There was a time, 1986. In fact, I was building the Sherwin-Williams paint store here in Blue Springs. And might have been even 85. It was 1985. And my best friend was working with me. As a matter of fact, he was my best man in my wedding. And I was attending Atherton, was a deacon down there. And my friend was up at the gathering center. Some of you may remember that. And Brian told me, he said, oh, Brian, you got to come to the gathering center. There are so many experiences that happen, so many testimonies that happen. This is just, we were just having powerful experiences. You need to come to the gathering center. And I said, well, brother, I'm a quorum president down in Atherton, and I felt like this is where the Lord wants me to be right now. He says, well, maybe the Lord's telling you and you're just not listening. That really bothered me. I'm sure it'd bother you too if somebody make a statement to you like that, that the Lord is calling you to something and you're not listening. It really bothered me, and so I commenced fasting and praying about it. And after a 4-day fast, I was awakened in the middle of the night. It was not a vision, it was not a dream. I was awakened in the middle of the night. And what was on my heart was, in my prayers and fasting, God, do you want me to go to the gathering center, or do you want me to stay at Atherton? I was awakened in the middle of the night, and standing at the foot of my bed was what I understood was Jesus Christ. In all of His glory and majesty as a being of light, and it was, wow. In fact, that was what was on my heart. Whoa! Jesus come to me. And He spoke to me. He said, Brian, I want you to go and serve the gathering center with all your might. That should have been my first clue, but it wasn't. I'm going to come back to that. Go and serve the gathering center with all your might. And I thought, whoa! God sent His Son here to tell me what I need to do. And I was so excited. And something spoke to me as if from calling me out of a dream. Asked to see the prints of the nails in his hands. It wasn't like, oh, you better ask and see. It was asked to see the prints of the nails. And I said, okay, Lord, but before you leave, could I just see the prints of the nails in your hands? And he stretched out his hands like this. Standing at the foot of my bed, he stretched out his hands like this. And they were bare. And I knew in a moment that it was Satan trying to deceive me. He had me all the way until the very end. I missed the clue, go and serve the gathering center with all my might. See, that's how I tell the difference between Satan's voice and God's voice. He didn't tell me, go and serve me with all your might. But he took it and perverted and changed just a little bit of something, and I missed it. Boy, all the bells and whistles and flags should have gone off and said, oh, wait a minute here. I know who you are. But I didn't. I knew who he was, and great. And somehow it was through the gift of the Holy Ghost that rested upon me, asked to see the prints of the nails in his hand, and immediately he vanished. He knew that he had been exposed. And guess where I went? Under the covers. I was scared. I'm just being honest with you. I was scared. And pretty soon, the Lord's voice spoke to me again and said, if you want to see me, come on out. I was too scared. I was too afraid. I didn't want to be deceived again, and I had no idea what was out on the other side of those covers. Pretty soon, I got the courage up, and I walked out to my living room. And I sat out there. My wife heard me get up, and she got up to come see if everything was okay. And she was stopped at the door, and there was a light coming from down our hallway. And she was told she couldn't go any further. And it was just me and the Holy Spirit communing there, and the Lord just shared with me that I was so close to being deceived, but he wanted me to stay where I was at and to continue to serve until he called me in other fields. And so how do we know the voice whenever it's calling us? You have to try the Spirit. You have to test it. Does it concur with Scriptures? Is it truth? For Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And as you consider those things that the Lord would speak to you and give you direction in your life each day, my prayer for you is that you would listen, that you would test and to try the Spirit. Because the Lord wants you to listen to His voice. But I'm going to tell you a promise. The more you listen, the more you will respond, and then you'll start to be able to hear it very clearly. I live on a small farm. I have cows. I think they're my pets more than they are anything. But you know what? I can walk out in my field. I had some friends from Michigan just showed up here a few months ago. And they showed up there, and one little girl, she says, oh, I like your cows. And I said, well, why don't you just call them up? Call them up here. We'll give them some grain. She says, well, how do I call them? I said, I don't know how you call them. Go ahead and call them however you want to call them. And so she said, come on up, cows. She didn't know what to say. And those cows looked at her like, who are you? And pretty soon I went, whoo, here, cows. And you know, their old heads popped up and they knew my voice. And they started to respond because they knew there was a blessing coming right after that. But the more you start listening to the Lord's voice, the more you start responding. And it's very important that we teach our children this at an early age. I remember one time my dad and I was in England, and they drive on the wrong side of the road, in case you didn't know. me and Eric Odita had a conversation about this one time in Kenya, and he says, no, we don't drive on the wrong side of the road. I says, well, wait a minute. What side of the road do you drive on? He says, the left side. And I says, and what side of the road we drive on? He said, the right side. I said, there you go. If we drive on the right side, you drive on the wrong side. Well, my dad and I was in England, and he started to take a step off the curb, and he looked to the right. And I saw there was a car coming fast from the left. And I said, stop. He stopped immediately. Whew, there went the car by. But he was raised by a mother that taught him to respond. Didn't have to tell him three times, Dad, I would like for you to stop. Dad, please stop. Please, Dad, would you stop? No, he'd have been part of the highway at that time. No, we need to teach and we need to respond to that same way. How many times did the Lord spoke to us and he's told us to do something and we'd say, well, I don't know, and we wait. And then you hear these testimonies over and over again. Well, the Lord had to tell me a second time. The Lord had to tell me a third time. How many times does he have to tell us? And then we want to get upset at our children whenever they don't respond whenever we tell them to. But what's going to happen is that the more we listen to the Lord, the more we live with the Lord, we begin to have this relationship with Him, we're going to start responding. He's going to speak and we're going to hear His voice and we're going to know, oh, that's the Lord's voice. Oh no, that's a counterfeit voice. And the more we listen and the more we respond, we're going to find great, marvelous things that will take place. I want to share with you a testimony about a lady in Germany. Her name is Andrea. About a year and a few months ago, I was in Germany and we had a marvelous experience. And I asked them, I said, when are you going to be coming to America again? Oh, not till 2015. We're saving her money. She'd been without work for some time. They were struggling financially. Well, I get back from Germany, and about 2 weeks later, my mom calls my dad and I at the office and said, Andrea just called, and she said she's coming to America. I thought, Mom, you probably misunderstood something again. And so we called Andrea up. Andrea, Mom said, you just called, and you're coming to America? She said, oh, yeah, I'm coming. And I said, well, why? I said, just a few weeks ago, you told me you were not coming until 2015. And then she thought I didn't want her to come. She said, oh, is that a problem? And I said, no, it's no problem. I'm just confused. I said, you just said you were not going to come. I said, why are you coming? Oh, she said, Brian, you taught us that we needed to pray. Begin our day each day. And she says, I start my day in prayer. And I ask God to show me the way. And this morning, I was praying and I asked God to show me the way. And He said I needed to go to America. So I asked my husband and I asked my daughter, what do you think? And they said, if God wants you to go, you should go. And so she said, so I'm coming to America. Is that okay? Absolutely okay, Andrea. When will you be here? And all of a sudden, it hit my dad. Andrea, can you be here by the 17th of May? She said, sure. Why? He says, because he just remembered our branch was sending a witnessing weekend up to three branches in Iowa. And so he said, if you can be here by the 17th, we're going to go on a witnessing weekend. She said, what's that? We're going to go to Iowa. Oh, okay, great. Well, Andrea came with the zeal, if any of you have ever met her, she came with the zeal and the fire of the gospel because Jesus told her she needed to be in the United States. And she went to Iowa and she started visiting people that have been inactive that are now active again. She started sharing the gospel with people that were non-members and now they're interested in the gospel. And while she was over here, she got her patriarchal blessing. And all these things started fitting together. It was because one person listened to God. One person asked. One person sought the Lord, show me the way for today. And so Andrea responded, and not only her, but the people were blessed. I share with you an experience that happened last Friday, just a couple of days ago. This took me back. I showed up on a job site to drop off some tools and some materials to my crew. And while I was there, and they were working inside the building, there was a stucco crew started on the outside of this building. Never met the crew before. I couldn't tell you to this day what the name of the company even is. Never met any of their employees before. And pretty soon this guy comes over to me and he says, "You're a pastor, aren't you?" Well, in common terms, they're saying, "You're a minister, aren't you?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "What do you think about what's going on in this country?" And I'm seriously wondering, what is happening here? He says, "You know, in the Bible, it talks about God destroying cities. You remember that story about Sodom and Gomorrah?" I said, "Yeah." And he says, "Well, this is the Supreme Court and these decisions that are happening, and look where this country's going and everything." And all of a sudden, we begin having this conversation of what's happening. And pretty soon, he says, "Oh, we got it coming." So some of you people that remembered causing some problems, and whenever Mama would say, "Oh, you got it coming." I mean, this is what this guy was saying. Now, this guy was a labor guy. This was a guy that you would not necessarily in our think we would have this real theological discussion with. But he looked at me and he saw there was something there. And I've wondered myself. I've looked at myself ever since Friday. I've kept going back to this experience. What is it that he's seen? And is the same thing upon us? This is not about me, saints. The same thing should be upon us. Are we lights into the wilderness? These candles into the wilderness? Whenever somebody sees you and they recognize there is something different. And pretty soon he came back over to me. I finished unloading some stuff and he came back over to me. He got done mixing some of his mortar up and he said, in fact, he wasn't even all the way. We were probably from here to the piano away. He said, "You know, the Bible says that he's going to come as a thief in the night. We better be watching." And I said, "Brother, but we are also of the light. And we need to be watching so that we see him coming." And we had this short conversation again. And so I ask you, are you experiencing these kind of things? Is the voice of God calling and are you responding? Is he... Are people seeing Jesus with you? I don't think it was that he necessarily saw me, but I think he saw he who was with me. There's a difference. And so the voice is unto us tonight to be ambassadors of light, even candles into the wilderness. I want to share with you a scripture from Isaiah chapter 52. "Awake, awake. Put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake thyself from the dust. Arise and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughters of Zion. For thus saith the Lord, ye have sold yourselves for naught, and ye shall be redeemed without money." And I believe that even tonight, the voice of God is calling to you and calling to me to arise, to shake ourselves, to awake from the dust. Truly, we have become captive. We've allowed ourselves to be led, and we've allowed our children to be led, and our eyes have wandered. And we've allowed ourselves to be so captivated by this world. There was a time I was in Uganda, and we were up on top of this mountain. We were sharing with a group. There was probably 40 or 50, and probably 20 of them, or at least half of them, were children. And while we were preaching, there was a party come down the street. And there was all kinds of horns and loud stuff and everything. And man, as they came, we completely lost the children. In fact, they got up out of the service and they went out to the back of the hut. And they were so enthralled by all this noise and commotion that was happening. And I wonder, is the same thing happening to us? I'm so tired of seeing us losing our children. I'm tired of us seeing things that are happening. Frankly, it's because of the poor examples of me and perhaps you. Because we've sought the things of this world. We've sought the enticements of this world. And so why should we be surprised whenever our children tend to go down those same paths? And so there are many things that are happening. Many things that are calling for us. But the Lord is calling us tonight. He's calling us to awake. We've slumbered too long. You see, isn't that the same thing that happened in the 25th chapter of Matthew with the parable of the 10 virgins? They were all virgins. They were all virgins. While they slumbered and slept, the party was over. There was a call made. The voice from heaven. Arise. Go out and meet him. Are we prepared tonight? I'd like for you just to ask yourself, which within yourself, not your wife, not the person sitting in the row with you, not the person that's not even here tonight, are you prepared tonight to arise? The bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Are you prepared? You know, in the 22nd chapter of Matthew, there was a story there about a wedding. And said they went and invited everybody, and when they came, there was somebody there that didn't have on a wedding garment. And whenever they Lord saw that. Why are you here? Why didn't you make this preparation? Why are you not in the wedding garment? You see, I believe that there is something happens to us when we enter into the waters of baptism, when we make that covenant with Him. One of those terms of covenant is that we exchange robes, and now all of a sudden we're wearing the robe of a king. And we should look different. We should act different. And it should not be a surprise when somebody comes to you and say, "Are you a minister?" The voice of God is calling to us tonight. Have we been found in the wedding without our garments on? Have we not made that preparation in our life? I got to share with you this testimony. A couple years ago, I was in Maine, was teaching this class, and their youth class went from about 8 to about 18. And we were just talking about many different things, and we came to the experience of Adam and Eve in the garden. And I said, all of a sudden, after they ate the fruit, and they realized that they were naked, and I read that scripture and I said, "What does that mean to you?" And this little 8-year-old girl, her name was Mary, she said, "Oh, Brian, they lost their robes of righteousness." Whoa. That's what happened. They recognized that they were naked because they lost their robes of righteousness. And there are times we wander to our jobs, to our schools, we wander to and fro, Nobody says anything to us because we blended in with all the other naked people. But when we have our robes of righteousness on, it's a robe of glory, a robe of light. And it radiates from us. And people will look at you and say, surely, you are a minister. And so, I ask you to hear the Lord's voice tonight. If you're sitting here tonight, and you've allowed yourself to just blend in into the world, and you've left that robe, just between you and God, ask forgiveness. Put that robe back on and be a person of light. About a month ago, I had a dream. This dream bothered me a great deal. You ever seen this TV show about hoarders? My wife watches that sometimes, and frankly, it disgusts me. And I, in this dream, I saw the Lord. There was a bunch of us. There was a bunch of us inside a room. And so the faces don't necessarily matter. Who it was don't necessarily matter. Perhaps it was some of you. Perhaps it was a completely different other people. But what happened was I saw several of us in this room. And I heard a knock at the door. And I went over to the door. And I saw it was Jesus. And I tried to open the door. He was calling. He was wanting. He finally came. And I tried to open the door. And there was so much garbage in front of the door, I couldn't even get the door open. And I looked down at the garbage. And I saw beer cans, and I saw paraphernalia. I saw pornography. And I saw all this garbage that was here in front of the door that was preventing the Lord from coming in. And for so many, we were just oblivious to what was happening, and the Lord was just knocking. He wanted me to open the door to come in. Couldn't get the door open. And the next part of the dream, I was taken to several homes. Oh, some of the, you know, we do a great job of putting these ties on and our pretty dresses, and we come here to church and we just, man, we don't have a problem in the world, do we? And I was taken to several homes. And I was pleading with the Lord because I saw these marriages that were struggling. And I saw those that were going to end in divorce. And I saw those that had deep trials and struggles that was happening in their homes. And I was pouring out my soul. God, please help this one. Please help this one. God, why is this happening? And I woke myself up speaking for the Lord. And He said, don't blame me. I tried. Whoa. Do you hear those words from the Lord tonight? Don't blame me. I tried. What is it that you have allowed to be in front of the door that is preventing the Lord to come into your life, to come into your home? And if your home is spotless and you've allowed the Lord to come into your life, you're going to find as you go into the lives of those other homes that are around you, that there are going to be those same things. There's going to be the alcohol. There's going to be the pornography. There's going to be other things, the magazines and the things of the world. Oh, I saw these car magazines and all the things that were preventing the Lord from coming in. And it's going to be your responsibility as priesthood to clear those paths that the Lord can walk through the door. And so, brothers and sisters, I've heard Him pleading. He's not just calling. He's not just knocking. He's pleading. He's coming. He's inviting. But it is up to us. It is incumbent upon us to wear that garment. It's going to be tough. There's going to be times that people are going to mock you. There's times that people are going to think that you're lifting yourself up. There's going to be times that you're going to have to stand and be counted when nobody else will, including your family. And it'll be those that are the closest to you that will cause the greatest pain to you. But your covenant that you made with the Lord is not about your wife or your son or your daughter. It is about you. And what is it that you are going to do with it? Last month I was in Northern Michigan for a youth camp. And the theme was set apart. And at one of the campfires, the Lord spoke specifically to one individual, one young man. And in this experience, he said that there had been a time for calling, but now was a time for choosing. And for those of you that know this scripture, the Lord gave me a new insight to this. There was a time for us to be called. There was a time for us to be chosen. But now was a time for us to choose. Now's the time for us to choose whether or not we are going to wear that wedding garment. Now is a time for us to choose whether we are going to walk in the paths of righteousness or we're going to continue to blend in with the world. Now is a time for us to choose whether we're going to listen to His voice or the many other voices that are out there. Now is the time for us to choose whether the enticements and the things of this world is going to be what motivates us and the getting ahead, or is it going to be the things of the kingdom? And is the kingdom going to be first and foremost in our life? And it is a time for choosing. It isn't just about whether or not we're going to be called to the priesthood or whether we're going to serve in this office or that office. There is so much more the Lord is calling for. And my earnest plea is that you would hear His voice tonight as He begs and He pleads and He beckons you. And He calls you even to set your homes in order for the husbands and the men of your families to rise up and to be the men that God has called you to be, the spiritual leaders of your home, for you to rise up, to clear things out of your own house. He's calling. He's beckoning. And so tonight I pray that you have heard the Lord's voice as I've tried to respond to those things that He has placed upon my heart. My earnest plea, my earnest desire, when you tear down all the walls and all the facades and get rid of all the ties and all the different things, that we as a people choose to be God's people. That's what it's all about. It's not who we are, it's about whose we are. It's about Christ living in us and with us and walking with us and serving with us. And these are the days we're living in. These are the times that He's placed us for, right here today. It is our responsibility to respond in this way. It is our responsibility to leave here tonight committed to go home, to figure out what it is that we need to change in our life. I don't believe the Lord would have placed this message upon me tonight if it wasn't for us and the actions within our lives. And He's called us to step it up. He's placed us here for a specific purpose in this time. What a glorious time. A time that He is coming to labor with us. And it is yet day when you and I can work. It's yet day. But soon the night will come and opportunity to assist will have passed. And so whether you're old or young, whether you're man or woman, the Lord is calling you tonight. Will you hear His voice? Will you respond? I'd like to share for a, I don't want to say a closing, I want to say a beginning scripture. From the third chapter of Revelation, verse 20 and 21. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh, do you catch that word? To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in His throne. May God bless each and every one of you. May He bless you with a multiplicity of blessings as you respond and hear His voice, that you would hearken, hear, and obey. God bless you, brothers and sisters. I look forward to the days that are in front of us, that His kingdom might be established. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Brian. Appreciate the spirit in which you came. I know all of us have taken away many things that we can bring back to our homes and strengthen our families with the things that have been said. Let's go ahead at this time and let's turn in our little pamphlets to This Is My Father's World. And we'll sing this together. And Priest Thorik Smith will give us a benediction.
Nature sings and round me.
Dearly Father, Lord, we are again blessed, and we thank you that we're here together and that we can gather together as we have and just receive a message, Lord, that we can make changes and that you are with us every step of the way. So, Lord, we pray that as we go to our homes and as we start the beginning of this next week, we pray, Lord, that we remember the understanding that you're with us and that we have to make the way in our lives to let you in. So help us know the way. Help us remember to put away those things and see how to put away those things that would separate us from you. And help us to become united underneath you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.